Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio in historic Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue is Representative Grant Worley, a Republican from Naperville. He's on various committees, appropriations for higher education, labor and commerce, personnel and pensions. I would love to talk to you about pensions, but that could eat up a little bit. We'll see if we get there. But one of the things, Representative, thank you for joining me this morning.
Rick, thanks for having me this morning.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the issue of a graduated income tax. Now, granted, it would take a constitutional amendment to do it. I don't think the votes are there for it. The votes haven't been there in the past for it. Uncertainty about issues of rate structure, those kinds of things. But it was a dominant theme in the Democratic campaign for governor. All of the major candidates support a graduated income tax. Questions about whether the state's current flat tax basically exacerbates issues of income inequality. Republicans are adamantly against it. There are some Democrats that are against it as well. I wanted to get your thoughts on the issue of a graduated income tax.
Certainly. Well, once again, thanks for having me today. There is bipartisan opposition to it. The process that we have for budgeting in Springfield is actually backwards. So instead of going to the taxpayers and asking for more money up front, perhaps we go back and do what every other state, local unit of government does and start with the budget process and then as a line of last resort, then go ask the taxpayers for more dollars. Now, the progressive, some people call it a fair tax. To me, this is just a little bit more of identity politics. It's the us versus them. They have it. We want it. Let's take it. Instead, I would suggest that Springfield follow the process that's not only outlined in our Constitution, but has proven to be successful elsewhere in units of government. Let's do the hard work first and not do the easy part of just simply raising taxes. So there is bipartisan opposition to it. You mentioned the constitutional requirements to get there. It's the soonest we can put it on the ballot is 2020. And we'll, you know, let's put it to the voters and see what happens. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to open up the Constitution, let's open it all up. So let's talk about the pension protection clause. Let's look at the entire Constitution and not just cherry pick things that are politically expedient for some.
So let's have a con-con?
I wouldn't be opposed to that. Let's look at it all. Let's put everything on the table and decide what is best to move our state forward. Our state's fiscal condition, as we all know, is beyond crisis, and we need hard solutions. So we can't cut our way out of this, and we can't tax our way out of this. It's going to be a combination, but I'm not going to go to the taxpayers and ask for money until I've shown the work, until I've earned their trust, which is something that's severely lacking in Springfield, to ask for more money. Let's get the efficiencies in government and make our case for more revenue and earn that trust back.
Well, let's talk about budget then. And I mean, I know there's been a line about, you know, this is a setup for a tax increase, although it's an election year. I mean, everybody agrees, for example, on both sides about this state needs a capital plan, but nobody wants to talk about the dedicated revenue funding source that is normally associated with that, because that would require some dedicated source of revenue, normally some kind of a tax increase or a new tax on something.
So once again, let's come up with a plan in a bipartisan way. And I agree that 2018, because it's an election year, is basically a lost year in Illinois finances. And we can't afford a lost year financially. It's time value of money. We're not paying our bills. We need to come up with that plan. But due to the election cycle, I don't hold a lot of hope out for some bipartisan solution. And it's going to take a long-term solution, 10 years. But that will also require fiscal discipline, which is something that the state of Illinois has never, ever had.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing when I hear that term fiscal discipline, because, no, it's never happened. It never happened.
It's our only way out of this. We can't continue to keep doing the things that we've been doing and expect a different outcome. We need changes. We need reforms. Yes,
well,
there's that R word.
Every outside group that's looked at that, you know, Civic Committee, Commercial Club, whatever, they're all, you know, you have to have a plan and you have to stick with it. And it's going to take a long time.
Correct. And so, you know, here we are. I go back down to Springfield tomorrow. We're 3 weeks from the end of session. And what are we going to see? It's going to be the same as before. same as it ever was. We'll continue to, you know, try to talk about a budget, but we'll see that Speaker will drop a budget with probably less than a day left in session, which is what he's done every year since I've been there. And that's no way to govern. That is budgeting for failure. It doesn't have the solutions that we need in the state. It's simply what one man wants and how we can get through the election cycle, which is why we are in such a fiscal morass.
We're speaking with Republican Representative Grant Worley from Naperville. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune inside the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower. Joining me here in studio is Republican Representative Grant Worley from Naperville. We're talking about issues involving finances, and of course, we all know what a miserable situation the state of Illinois is with its finances. We're talking about the issue of a graduated tax, and we've got a call from Ron. Ron, as always, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Good morning, Rick. Hi, Representative. You mentioned a budget, and you said that the state should do like other states do. But applying that same thinking, wouldn't you think that we should do like other states? Illinois is only one of eight states that doesn't have some form of a progressive tax. The federal tax is based more on a progressive tax. But again, 42 states. And particularly do this, and look, I'm not getting about it. I don't really want to pay any more taxes. But particularly look at this tax cut, and we are seeing where more of the wealthier, higher income people are benefiting from it. So just, you know, tell me, why would you be against some form of progressive income tax?
Thank you, Ron.
Well, Ron, thanks for that question. Just because other states are doing it doesn't mean that Illinois should follow suit, because if we're going to start looking at what other states do, you know, down in Springfield, we hear a lot about Minnesota and the great ideas and how their progressive budgets are working, but we're not looking at what they're actually doing at the policy level to get there. When we're talking about prevailing wage, they have a lower prevailing wage and a lower prevailing wage job size. So looking at what other states do, first and foremost, I think Illinois has to get its budget in order, and it has to be done in an open and transparent manner. Then we can go and look at what other states and budget for success. There are many budgets out there that we could boilerplate over and bring into Illinois, but then we have to also get the underlying policy issues that align with that to get us to where Illinois needs to be in comparative to other states.
So where does growth come in as a factor?
Well, we absolutely need growth. The only way we're going to get out of this morass is with growth. And, you know, on the House floor, we see almost on a daily basis policies that are put forward that impinge growth in Illinois. Or we can't get rid of programs that are not favorable to business. We, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, we had fiscal notes, for example, put on a couple of bills, and the majority party just rules those inapplicable, which, first off, it's crazy because they are clearly applicable if it's a pension bill or something like that, but that's just how the game is played.
And it's become an ever-increasing game.
It is.
And an example of that is the issue of taking the politics out of the drawing of district boundaries. And as I've said before, this was a unique feature in the 1970 Constitution when the drafters believed that the prospect of a Republicans and Democrats not agreeing on a map was the penalty would be, it would be decided by the flip of a coin or a name out of a hat, all by chance, and it'd be winner take all. And that would be so horrifying, that prospect, that Republicans and Democrats would be forced to work together on a map. Doesn't it work that way?
It has not, and we've actually seen that coin toss before. So fair maps would go a long way to help solve a lot of Illinois' problems. It would put us less at the partisan divide. It would bring us together. It would allow representation fairly across the entire state. If you want to talk about ideas that we should take from other states, I'll go to Iowa on this one. They have a computer-generated map. It's fair. There's no complaining about it. You know, you look at some of these districts that go from here in the South Loop all the way down to Kankakee, it's ridiculous. People in Kankakee and Chicago have very little in common. Why should they have their representative or their state senator representing them equally in Springfield? Fair maps go a long way to solve a lot of our problems.
And I would argue, I know the governor is a constant supporter of term limits. Term limits the courts have pretty much ruled that term limits can't be done as a petition-driven kind of thing, so that it would have to emanate from the legislature, and we know that's not going to happen. But I would argue that there seems to be a growing support, at least stated support, on both sides to come up with a way to try to keep the politics, in many respects, and the game of having politicians pick their voters and bring that to an end. And if you had some fairness in the map making, that would alleviate some of the issues involving term limits.
Wholeheartedly agree. It's one of those things that there is bipartisan support. Everybody's, you know, thinks it's a good idea, except for maybe a handful of individuals that have an immense amount of power in Springfield that they derive their power from how the map is drawn and drawing that map. So until and unless that changes, I don't hold out a lot of hope. But it is polls extremely high around the state. People want fair maps. People want their government back. They want us working on behalf of them, and we should be.
I mean, I actually go back to the days of cumulative voting in this state, which I found to be a much more representative form of government in the state, where you had minority representation in every district, minority party representation, right, in every district.
Hindsight, looking back on the cutback amendment under, Pat Quinn had a lot to do with that.
That may not
have been such a great idea in hindsight. Now, do we want, that many more representatives running around? I don't know if that's such a good thing, but the concept of how we vote and you get fair and balanced viewpoints from Chicago to Naperville to Cairo, that would be a good thing for our state government.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the door is closed on adding 59 members to the Illinois House.
I will not be running that legislation.
So let's go back to the budget issue. Do you think we're going to have a budget, just at least of any kind of framework budget?
So first and foremost, I think we need to come up with a budget fix for our current fiscal year. I don't know where that stands in the process. So we need to look in arrears and fix where we are now. But this is an election year. I don't think anybody wants to end May without a budget on either side of the aisle. It would just be more political ammunition. So hopefully there's enough mutually assured destruction here that we can come up with at least a solid one-year budget that balances. We should start with a revenue estimate. The Illinois Constitution says we should start with how much money we have that we're currently bringing in and go from there. I remain an optimist. For as much time as I've spent in Springfield, I still remain an optimist. We can get this done. We can solve these problems. But it's going to take us putting down the weapons and picking up our pencils and going to work.
And we're going to have to make a pension payment.
We are.
And that's a significant chunk of money.
And without a plan, that only gets worse. Even with a plan, that only gets worse. And we have to come up with a plan to solve that long term.
You mentioned about, just going back to pensions very quickly, about opening up the Constitution and that pension protection clause. And, I mean, there's a great argument that by some that could only be prospective, not affect current benefits.
I agree with that. The Illinois Supreme Court has been pretty clear on that. And then, ex post facto, you can't change something going in arrears. But even on a go-forward basis, that would help loosen up some of the restrictions if they're implemented and we find out they're not working. Once it's given, it can't be taken back under the current law. If we try something and it doesn't work and we need to pull that back, we would then have the ability. So I agree that it would be on a prospective basis only, but that is still a tool in the toolbox that we don't currently have.
But it wouldn't really affect our current situation.
Indeed, it would not, but it would certainly help us on a go-forward basis with whatever we decide to do as a solution if it doesn't work.
What do we do about the current situation?
We're going to have to find a way to fund it or go bankrupt. Those are our two choices. Bankruptcy for the state is currently not an option. There are many that think we're already fiscally insolvent and technically bankrupt. We're one notch away from junk bond status. If we don't have a budget, we will be junk bond status. So it's either time to come up with solutions or try to figure out how we get out of this in a legal maneuver like Detroit or other areas that haven't been successful. I mean, Harvey is the canary in the coal mine. You see what's going on there, and it is not pretty, and it's state intervention is basically what we have there. The comptroller's withholding dollars that should be going to something else to make the pension payments.
Do you favor bankruptcy as an option?
I think it should be a position of last resort. But if we can't make it ends meet, there's only so much taxes we can raise. We could tax everybody 100% at some point in time, and it might not be enough to pay for our fiscal obligations. So something's going to have to give. What does that look like? I'm married to a teacher. Respect what they do. It's a great profession. But I try to tell my friends that are teachers that are farther than 10 years out, you might want to look at some alternative investments, because I don't know if you're going to get 90 cents on the dollar, 20 cents on the dollar, or 100 cents on the dollar right now. Without a plan, without a budget going forward, I don't know what that looks like. So you better be saving on your own, because the state might not be able to make its obligations.
And on that cheery note, Representative Grant Worley, Republican from Naperville, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.